I first visited with him in 2007. I went down to visit him at his ranch in New Mexico, where he had set up kind of a flying ranch. He had bought this rather expansive piece of acreage, and he had decided that he was going to introduce a new sport to the United States, something he'd invented called aero tracking. And the idea was that you would take these very small aircraft and fly them very, very low over the desert, and you would get your thrills this way. So you'd zoom along sort of just over the cactuses and hopefully not hit anything. And unfortunately, someone did. He wound up facing a wrongful death lawsuit. And in the wake of that, he evacuated from the United States, sold everything he had, and moved down to Belize. But I got to know him originally as someone who was just leading this incredible adventurous lifestyle, and he was sort of a Pied Piper of adventure-loving, freedom-loving souls.
So that was the character that you met initially, but you say that over time he changed.
He invited me to visit with him down in Belize. He said that he had been all but wiped out, but he was loving his life, that money was just an encumbrance and a hindrance. And I went down to visit with him. He was supposedly trying to produce these medicinal herbs from jungle plants, and it was going to help save the world. And I came back from that trip starting to ask questions. I started to see some problems with the plausibility of some of the things he was telling me. And I wrote a somewhat skeptical article for Fast Company magazine in 2010. And in the wake of that, people started coming forward and telling me stories. And that kind of led me to unravel this ball of yarn as time went by. And it was hard because it's very difficult to chase down a story about a person who loves to spin tales.
Tales in what sense?
He considered himself a prankster, a hoaxster. He thinks it's great fun to tell people stories and see if they fall for it or not.
But was it a case that you found that he was just a person fond of spinning tales, or was there something else that sort of made you feel slightly uneasy about the way in which he was behaving?
Well, at first I didn't really find anything that made me too uneasy. I mean, I felt like with a guy like that, you kind of have to stay on your toes. But it wasn't until really my most recent visit, where I went down to see him this spring, that I really sensed there had been a change. And I didn't understand at the time why he was so different. He had been surrounded by a coterie of like-minded souls. People are sort of his hangers-on, his sort of entourage. And they'd all fled. And he wasn't associating with any expatriates. And I said to him, "What, isn't it strange that you don't really have any friends anymore?" And he said, "Friendship is a bourgeois concept. It's a made up thing. Why would I need friends?" It was astounding to me, and I couldn't really make sense of it until much later. Actually, in the wake of my most recent article on Gizmodo.com, more people started to come forward and point out things to me that I hadn't caught the first few times, and such as the fact that he was involved in these. Heavily involved in experimenting with a class of drugs that's kind of colloquially known as bath salts. And these can be very psychosis-inducing, paranoia-inducing substances. And he was, by his own reckoning, doing them hundreds of times.
You paint a picture of a character that seems a world away from the geek figure that we normally associate with those who've been successful in computing or software.
And he very much loved to be perceived as such. He wanted to be perceived as the kind of the philosopher king going out astride the world and living life larger than life. And he styled himself as a sort of Eastern mystic. He founded a yoga retreat in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado and published several books of little nuggets of yoga-type wisdom, which he then later renounced. By the time I met him in 2007, he said that it was all junk. It was just gibberish.
So can I ask why you did keep on going to visit him if you were increasingly unnerved by the sort of behavior he was exhibiting?
He did all sorts of fun things. He'd fly airplanes, ride boats, and take ATVs over the desert. All sorts of fun stuff. He wakes up in the morning, as he said, and I want to see, what can I do today? I want to greet the world like I'm an eight-year-old boy, and I just want to go have fun. And that's how I approached the first two stories. And it was only after, in the wake of the second story, that I started to have doubts. And when people started to come forward and tell me somewhat horrifying things, I felt compelled to tell the truth about this guy, because I knew that he had successfully was really expert at working with the press and getting out the kind of message that he wanted to. So he was very good at manipulating reporters like me. And I was concerned that he was taking advantage of his wealth and his position and the attractiveness. He was the sort of Pied Piper where he would draw people to him. And this seemed a dangerous thing to me. And so I figured I'll just do one article that will sort of tell the truth about this guy, and then I'll be done. And the next thing you know, it's blown up into this international to-do.